Jesus is the sweetest name I know, and he's just the same as his lovely name. That's the reason why I love him so, for Jesus is the sweetest name I know. Heavenly Father, we thank you and we praise you for life. We thank you for our existence. We thank you for the opportunity we have to experience life, knowing that in this world we experience one thing. In this world we have so many things, but in the world to come, we have life in its fullness. Lord, we look forward to that moment, that day, when we will stand with you and be with you in your presence. And Lord, we're very grateful that while we're in this world, we have the opportunity to walk by faith and in love with you. Father, we just ask that you bless this time as we gather together. Bless your word to us through the instruction of the Holy Spirit that speaks to each of us according to our need from your word. Father, we thank you that even now we stand in your presence. We give you praise in Jesus' name. Amen. I'd like to begin this morning in the Gospel of Mark, chapter 10. We'll see if we get beyond this, but Gospel of Mark, chapter 10. And three words, I guess, for you to consider, to think about as we go through this are the words opportunities, obstacles, and overcoming. And one thing that's true of every human that's come into existence, is God has placed before them opportunities, or even in a singular, opportunity. But with opportunities, there are also obstacles between us and the fulfillment of those opportunities. But there's also throughout Scripture many an example of overcoming the obstacles to obtain the opportunity. So we live in a world, and part of the human experience and the experience of the people or the children of God is one is the opportunity's there and recognizing the opportunity. The second thing is realizing that there will be, we have an enemy, we have those that would stand between us and those things, obstacles that are placed before us that to keep us from obtaining and attaining to, as Paul writes it, attaining to what God, the opportunities God has called us to. But then there's the promise and the hope, the strength, everything that we need in Christ and through the leading of the Holy Spirit to overcome not only the obstacles, but the one who places those obstacles in our paths that we might obtain fully, fully. So all these have gradations. They all have, there's variables and there's not everybody obtains everything that they were called to, that sort of thing. But there's all these have different gradations to them, but there is overcoming. The devil has been defeated, we are told in Scripture. The devil has been destroyed, and he knows that. He has no future. Some years ago, speaking at a fellowship meeting or preaching somewhere, I want to say Denver, but I don't recall. And what the Lord put in my heart is to talk about the fact that God does not offer grace or forgiveness to to the devil. There is none extended to the devil for what he has done. It's not because of what he has done. It's simply because he was created by God. He had everything. He brought up basically a general rebellion in heaven. And there's no grace offered him, no forgiveness offered him. And he is losing absolutely everything and will cease to exist. He already knows he's been defeated in the victory that Jesus won at the cross, in dying and in the resurrection. Though he tried everything that was within his power to stop it, including tempting Jesus and trying to turn Jesus aside from that when he was in his weakened, if you would, human state, we are now more than conquerors through him that loved us. And this, and Satan, the devil, is more than defeated, more than utterly destroyed, and he knows it. What he hates now is you. The devil hates you. Because your life in Christ is evidence of the power of God, is evidence of the power of God's love and grace that he will never taste, he'll never experience. Though he did once, he'll never experience that again. There is no mercy for the devil. So he hates us. And what he would do and what he is doing, and we see it, I was in a conversation with someone this week, and the discussion was, you know, why is it that the devil attacks the children of Christians? Why is it that the attack on the children of Christians is so strong? Because he wants to stop the generational passing down of the gospel. I told him, I said, that's why, you know, many years ago I, you know, mentioned how that, you know, God has no grandchildren. Every individual must come to believe or reject Christ as their Savior. We don't go to heaven because our parents went to church, but it's amazing how many people kind of rely on that sort of an inherited righteousness. Well, I was raised in church, my folks were raised in church, and they lean on that very heavily. But every one of us has our own responsibility before God to see that opportunity and that God presents to us. And though there are obstacles, you know, you've maybe used them, I've used them in the past, but I hear them all the time. All the obstacles people mention, well, you know, I would have kept going to church, but, or I used to go to church, but, and there's always something that came up that kept them from following on in their spiritual growth. And it's just another person who's been robbed and lied to and deceived. And they see the obstacle is something that cannot be overcome. So, along those lines, let's read here in Mark chapter 10, verses 17 through 22. Mark 10, 17. And when he was gone forth into the way, there came one running and kneeled to him and asked him, "Good master, what shall I do that I may inherit eternal life?" And Jesus said unto him, "Why callest thou me good? There is none good but one, that is God. Thou knowest the commandments: do not commit adultery, do not kill, do not steal, do not bear false witness, do defraud not, honor thy father and mother." And he answered and said unto him, "Master, all these have I observed from my youth." Then Jesus, beholding him, gazing on him, loved him. He loved him and said unto him, one thing thou lack. Go thy way, sell whatsoever thou hast, and give to the poor, and thou shalt have treasure in heaven, and come and take up thy cross and follow me. Now this one thing just really breaks down into, what, four or five different things. I didn't enumerate them or anything, but there are steps, but it's a single act. We'll get back to that. So anyway, Jesus was going forth with the disciples as they did. They traveled from place to place as he was doing the works of the Father. And there came this young man running to him. This is also recorded in Matthew. For the other Gospels don't record it exactly the same or at all, but similar stories. But he came running. Jesus was already in the way. He was heading down the road. And this young man came running to him. He didn't want to miss out. He was anxious to see Jesus. Perhaps he heard some of the things, was hearing things that Jesus had done, and came running to him and kneeled on the ground before him and asked him, good master, which means teacher, what shall I do that I may inherit eternal life? This was no doubt a burden on this young man's heart. He came to understand that life in this world is not permanent. And he was old enough to know that he wanted eternal life. He wanted to know that he was going to remain alive. I can identify this with this very clearly, very strongly, in my own life, my own testimony, is knowing that you know, what's this life for if it ends? What value do we get out of it if it's just as brief as it is? So what may I do that I may inherit? He says, inherit, not earn, but inherit, be given. Be given eternal life. So this young man had a good spiritual understanding. But how is it I may have that? And Jesus said unto him, why callest thou me good? There's none good but one, that is God. Now Jesus was not saying he was not good. And he was not saying that he was not God. He was making this young man think and realize and open his eyes to the opportunity that stood before him. He says, why do you call me good? There's one good, and that's God. But why do you call me good? What Jesus was intimating there was that he is God, that he was God. And the works that he was doing, the things that he was teaching, the wisdom that he was expounding to the people wherever he went, were the words of God, were the words of life that the Father gave him to speak. He says, there's none good but one, and that is God. So in a sense, he was asking the young man, do you believe that I am God? Do you believe that I am who I say I am? Why do you call me good? What's the reasoning behind calling me good? Jesus was opening up to him this opportunity to expand, to think in his own heart and mind why he called Jesus good and was equating Jesus with God. But Jesus continued on. And so you know the commandments. Jesus knew this young man before this young man came running to him. Jesus was not surprised. He says, you know the commandments. Do not commit adultery. Do not kill. Do not steal. Do not bear false witness. Defraud not. Honor thy father and mother. Now these commandments mentioned here, these five, six commandments are the ones that are often seen as the most, really the most applicable for a young man. Most applicable. Doesn't mention anything about coveting your neighbor's wife or any false images or loving the Lord with all your heart and all your soul and all your mind. He mentions those ones that really reveal a person's interactions with their community, their how they live their lives, what kind of person they are. And this young man, he responded, he said unto Jesus, Master, all these have I observed from my youth. I've never done any of these. These are repugnant in my sight. These are things that I would not and do not and have not done. And Jesus, beholding him, loved him. Jesus, beholding him, loved him. He knew this young man's heart. He knew the sincerity. This young man came chasing Jesus down and seeking the opportunity, how it is he might gain exactly what Jesus came to give him. And Jesus loved him for his honesty and his integrity. And his, how he valued these things all his life, these commandments that were mentioned. And Jesus loved him and said unto him one thing. Here's this young man's being presented this opportunity. He came seeking to inherit eternal life. And Jesus listens to a little bit of his story and recognized that the young man's heart was for God and the things of God. He says, you're only lacking one thing. Wow. You know, it's an interesting thing that you can, if you're talking to somebody and they say, well, I don't know if I believe in, you know, I'd like to have eternal life. I don't know. You're only lacking one thing. Because obeying these other commandments would not make this young man righteous. It would not make him accepted in God's sight. You know, as Paul explains very clearly, that no one is made righteous before God by following the law, because we all violate the law. We all violate the tenets of God in order, because we are human. Because we are human. But Jesus then says this one thing. Here's the opportunity. He says, You only lack one thing. Sell whatever you have. Give the money to the poor. And thou shalt have treasure in heaven. You'll have that eternal life. You'll have treasure in heaven. And come, follow me, walk with me. Take up your cross. That cross is that responsibility that we have to walk with God, our calling in God, our calling, the calling of God in our lives to walk with Jesus, to follow the Spirit's leading. He says, come, pick up your cross and follow me. Join me. There's the opportunity. Plain and simple. How may I inherit eternal life? Jesus said, here it is. Treasure in heaven. A walk with God. Who knows what may have become of this young man's life? What testimony, what a powerful witness he would have been or could have been, how Jesus may have used him and how he may have grown in the things of God. But instead of having his question answered and rejoicing, verse 22 says, and he was sad at that saying. Lord, what can I do to inherit eternal life? Lord, what can I do to have a closer walk with you. Lord, what can I do to experience more of you in my life? And Jesus said, separate yourself from this world. This is really just one act. It's leave the world behind. Take up your calling in God and walk with Jesus. It's really just, it is just one answer. It's just one thing. But it's a rejection. It's a turning away from it. Putting off of the opportunities, all the opportunities. This young man had so many opportunities in the world. Endless. I mean, look at who he may have become in the world. We don't know. And truth of it is, it doesn't matter. Because all that, no matter what he accomplished, it's over and done with and forgotten. His treasures are gone. Other people have them. They could be floating around in museums today. They could be part of somebody else's treasury today. But it's all gone. And it would appear from this passage that there is no treasure for him in heaven. Nor did he, from this passage, this is all we know. And that's the power of this example. Is he left the opportunity that Jesus placed plainly before him, the obstacles to walking in those opportunities, obtaining those opportunities, experiencing those opportunities, the obstacles overcame him. He saw the obstacles as too great. And you imagine that young man turning and walking away, he grieved. He went away grieved. He had suffered loss. There was the gift, the inheritance of eternal life placed right in front of him, that opportunity. And he walked away from it. And he grieved. He was bereaved. He was robbed. The obstacles were too great for him, for he had great possessions that are today worth nothing to him, and in the future are worth nothing to anybody. Can you imagine being sad when Jesus tells you exactly what he's asking you to do? This still happens every day. This still happens every day. I don't remember if it was, I'd have to look. I probably didn't write it down, but I don't remember if it was Wednesday night or another night. But this time of year, there's a big push for blood donations and platelet donations that I receive. You can sign up with your driver's license and get on a donor's list and become an organ donor. You know, God's looking for organ donors. Not just a liver or a heart or a lung or corneas or skin or blood vessels or whatever it is they harvest. God's looking for complete bodies. He's looking for complete organ donors. Living organ donors. As Paul says in Romans chapter 12, first verse or so. He says, brethren, I beseech you by the mercies of God that you present yourselves a living sacrifice to God, that he might demonstrate in you his perfect will and make you an example, a shining example, and give you a life, an overcoming life, that others might see that you've taken hold and laid hold of the opportunities Christ has set before you. You've overcome the obstacles. And that obstacle is self. This young man, it was self. It was what he, as he saw himself in this world. And again, from the what we know of this young man in Scripture? The obstacles, he saw them as too big, too much. They could not be overcome. I can only think about, I have thought this way before, but think of this young man, you know, 20, 30, 40 years later, when he had become old and decrepit and weak and incapable, and thinking about this moment that he walked away from the gift, the inheritance of eternal life, for those things he could not even pick up and hold in his hand anymore. And how he had lost out on those opportunities. That opportunity. When they could have been overcome. He saw the things for what they truly were, the value that they really had, and they had no value. Not anymore. I see that all the time, and we all experience that. Those things we used to, things we hang on to, they're, because they're valuable to us, and I can't remember something that we, at home, we were looking for the other day, and we saved it for something special, and by the time we found it, it was to become about worthless. It gotten old. It corrupted. That's what happens to the treasures of this world. Moths eat them, thieves steal them, and they rust, they are corrupted. Every one of us, God has set before us an amazing opportunity. Every day, new opportunities. With those opportunities come the obstacles that are usually the main component of those obstacles is me. Not always. Sometimes the Lord calls us to something and we are physically or somehow restrained or obligated. We cannot at that very exact moment get around those obstacles. Sometimes we have to one man came to Jesus and said, Lord, I want to walk with you. I want to go with you. And Jesus said, well, come on. He said, well, first I need to go home and bury my father, who was probably not dead at the time, but dying. And Jesus said, whatever. He said, let the dead bury the dead. Let the living walk with Christ. We value things in this world. We value traditions, objects, the people, relationships, things we think we have, things we don't think we have. We value all sorts of things in this world that become obstacles to the opportunity that God has placed before us in Christ. And none of them are so great that they cannot be overcome. None of them. Because God, with the calling, God also gives us the enabling of the Holy Spirit. And the understanding of the word to overcome those things that would stand in the way. In dealing with people with addictions. I want to get my life right with God, but I have this addiction and I can't get around it. I can't. That's why they have programs to help people deal with their addictions and address them. But addictions come in many forms. Sometimes we're just plain addicted to our will. We're addicted to what I want, like this young man, versus what Christ has called me to. Let's turn to 1 John chapter 5.
First John chapter 5. Let me just go ahead and start with the first verse. What are we doing with time here? Okay, yeah. Verse 1. Whosoever believeth that Jesus is the Christ is born of God. And everyone that loveth him that begat loveth him also that is begotten of him. By this we know that we love the children of God, when we love God and keep his commandments. For this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments or his instructions, not referring to Moses' commandments or the Ten Commandments, but keep his instructions, follow his guidance, and his commandments, his guidance, are not grievous. Now, for this young man back in Mark, the instructions that Jesus gave him, the directions that Jesus gave, were grievous. He says, I cannot bear to sell all of my stuff, give my money away, give my worldly riches and my security away to follow Jesus, even if I inherit eternal life, is what he's saying. I would rather have my stuff than to inherit eternal life. I'd rather have my way rather than pick up my cross and follow Jesus. To be take up my responsibility, my calling of God, because God has called us all to a new life. He just doesn't clean us up and make us feel good to go about our own business and go about our own lives in this world and to pursue our own will. He has called us to a new life with new purposes, new goals, different content in our days. God wants to change your life. And changing your life is not something we change then so God will bless us. We have to follow him and let him transform our lives. Some people, they teach, they get that turned around. Well, if you're going to, I can't go there. I've got a wonderful example of that, but I can't talk about it. It's in some people that I'm dealing with. And we cannot change ourselves. The only way we do that is taking hold of the opportunity God has given us, follow his statutes, his instructions, his commandments, his directions. And then we overcome as we put our trust in Christ. But as John says, his commandments are not grievous. They're not what this young man was grieved at. When he turned away from Christ's commandments, because he only saw the obstacles rather than the opportunity. He only saw the obstacles and not the ability to overcome those. With God's calling in our lives, he always enables us to overcome. And that literally means to push back against the obstacles, push back against those things that stand in our way from doing what God would have us to do, push against those things that are contrary to life. They're contrary to growth. They're contrary to spiritual growth and spiritual understanding. They're contrary to everything eternal. This world, the things of this world, are contrary to everything eternal. The things that we value in this world, that we value more than God, are obstacles that unless we are willing to overcome them, unless we are willing to pursue the opportunity that Jesus places in front of us, there are obstacles we can never overcome. And it's amazing some of the things that people allow to reside in their, take up space in their hearts and in their minds, that they count more valuable, or things that they just simply cannot walk away from, that they might inherit eternal life, or that they might walk with God. Sad things, very sad things. But anyway, John said his commandments, they are not burdensome. Jesus, in Matthew, I think 11, end of chapter 11, says, take my yoke upon you, for my burden is light. I should read it. It's been a long time since I've tried to quote it. Cast off the heavy burdens of this world. The things of this world are what are heavy. Walking with Jesus is easy and light, though it does change our lives. And that's what it comes down to. Do we want God to change our lives for the better? Do we want to inherit eternal life? Do we want to walk in the light of God? Do we want to walk in the light of the kingdom? Do we want to know that we enjoy that life where we know we love God and we are loved of God, and where we see the world around us, we see that we are walking in the kingdom of God even now? But the devil would blind our eyes with whatever obstacle he knows will try to hold us back. And so, obtaining the opportunity that Jesus has set before us has to do with following, keeping God's instructions and letting the Holy Spirit get our lives in a spiritual perspective rather than a worldly perspective. Because the things of this world simply will not endure. So, verse 3 then, says, for this is the love of God that we keep, verse 4, for whatsoever is born of God, or whosoever is born of God, overcometh the world. And this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. Whosoever is born of God. So what John interjects here is that whoever believes in Christ as their Savior is born of God, and we have overcome the world. We are more than conquerors, Paul writes, through him that loved us. But whosoever is born of God overcomes the world. They have eternal life. And this is the victory that overcomes the world. It's our faith, our belief, our persuasion. Well, there's so many obstacles to faith. You know, I want to believe this, but there's these things I see that seem to contradict what I believe. Yeah, that's what's going to happen. Yeah, that's one of the obstacles. That's one of the deceits that the devil puts before us. That's one of the things to trip us up in our running the race and walking with God. Is, well, my faith is challenged by this. Jesus said, get rid of all that stuff. Take up your cross and follow me. Trust me. Jesus promised this young man in Mark, in the Gospel of Mark, he promised him eternal life. Yet the young man walked away because he thought life in this world was better. This is the victory. It's faith in God. Verse 5 says, who is he that overcomes the world? But he that believeth that Jesus is the Son of God, and nothing less. He said, young man, why do you call me good? There's only one that's good, that's God. Do you think I'm God? Do you believe I'm God? The young man didn't really answer that, didn't respond to that. He was too focused on what he wanted and what he wanted to hear. But the opportunity that was given him was that there was God in the flesh standing in front of him, loving him, answering his question very, very clearly. Yet the young man could not believe the words of Jesus. He could not find it in his heart at that time to believe that this was the answer. And that answer has never changed. That answer has never changed. Every challenge that we face in this life, every challenge that we face in our walk with God, comes down to, are you going to believe Jesus, or are you going to believe what you see, what you feel, what you think, what you hear? Are you going to believe the obstacles rather than the fact of who God is and what he's able to do and what he has promised? That's our challenge every day, from day to day, is what do we believe? What will we embrace? And as long as it is something other than Jesus has every right to me, every right to me. He's looking for organ donors. We were created by God for God, to glorify God. We have no other purpose for being. Everything else that seems to be a purpose for living or for doing or for being is an obstacle. The overcoming is in embracing, believing, being fully persuaded that Jesus is the Son of God and he has every right to his creation. Jesus said, the potter. You know, the pot can't say, well, who are you to tell me what I'm going to be? If the pot doesn't say to the potter, you know, you have no business telling me what to do or what to be. God has created us for his purpose, his will, his war. He's given us choices. Because that's what it's all about. Will we choose Jesus and to believe Jesus over those things that the devil would put in our way? This is where we discover the greatest freedom and liberty, is when we know we belong to God and we are free ourselves to go with him wherever he would have us to go. That's eternal living, not just eternal life, but eternal living and being. And that's God's gift to us every day in Christ. With that, let's close in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you and we praise you that you have made it so very simple and clear that we can understand very easily that you have called us to walk with Jesus, that Jesus is worthy of our lives. We thank you for this opportunity. We thank you, dear God, that your word, your truth, and the power of the Spirit enables us to overcome any and all obstacles easily, and that we can overcome those and go on to a full and rich life filled with the trophies of overcoming. Father, bless this to each one of us here today, and we're so very grateful for your goodness to us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
727, verse 1.
Let's stand and turn number 727 and sing the first verse, number 727. Verse 1.
Encamped along the hills of light, ye Christian soldiers rise and press the battle ere the night shall veil the glowing skies. Against the foe in vales below, let all our strength be hurled. Faith is the victory we know that overcomes the world. Faith is the victory. Faith is the victory. Oh, glorious victory that overcomes the world.
Faith in Christ. Seems easy. It is easy. But it challenges our very beings, which it's intended to do, to transform us. May God bless you. If you'd like to pray and worship the Lord, please do so. Amen.